and then baptized in water, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. But lots of people skip the water one. Okay. There are, in this set, 9 gifts, and they're called charismatic gifts because chariz is part of the Spirit of God. So it's not part of the charismatic movement, but that's where the charismatic movement got its name from. There's a third set of gifts. They're found in Ephesians 4, and I'm sorry, the hyphen is missing again, verses 10 to 16. And these are given by Jesus to certain people who are called into the fivefold ministry to occupy one of the ascension gifts ministries. There's 5 of them, and they're called fivefold ministry gifts. That's the blank, fivefold, all one word, ministry gifts. And they're also known as ascension gifts because Jesus gave them when he ascended into heaven. Okay. So, look up here for a sec. There are 3 sets, major 3 sets of gifts in Scripture. The first one, God the Father gives it to everyone. Everybody's got motivation. So everybody on the planet has 1 or more, usually 2 dominant motivations. The Holy Spirit gives, so you're literally narrowing, you know, from everybody down to those who are born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives 9 gifts called the gifts of the Spirit. Charismatic gifts. Narrowing the focus again, Jesus gives to only certain people, obviously born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, callings to be one of the fivefold ministry. So you start with this wide swath and then you work down to a very narrow focus in these gifts. Okay. There are some other gifts listed, so you can connect these 3 sets to 1 Corinthians 12:28, where it talks about apostles, prophets, healing gifts, teaching gifts, and then helps and administrations. We call those the serving gifts because you're serving the church. You're working ahead of time, setting up sound systems. You're working behind the scenes in the office, administering events, programs. They're also connected to other ministry gifts, and we're not giving you a complete list, but ministry gifts like Abraham's gift of prayer or intercession, Andrew's gift of hospitality. Barnabas had a gift of encouragement. Timothy had a gift of discipleship. David had a gift of leading worship. So if you're not called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, fivefold ministry, you might be called to lead worship. But you could also be an apostle who leads worship. So these gifts are not separate from each other. They can overlap. Make sense? There are also 2 other callings or other giftings in the church, and we call them elders and deacons. We'll explain those later because they're different at times than you think. And these are called ruler gifts. So let's, before the break, go through the motivation gifts, the first set. They're the easy ones. The scripture is Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. I'll read it to you. Just as each of us has one body with many members. So you have a body, it has fingers, toes, nose, 2 eyes, mouth, a couple of ears, has many members. These members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So let me list them for you. The gifts then are prophecy, service or ministry, teaching, exhorting. If you don't like that word, it's an old word meaning call closer to God, then encouraging. Giving, leading, or ruling, and mercy or grace, depending on the version of the Bible you read. Those are basic gifts on which all the other gifts are built. So listen. Example. If you're called to be an apostle, then your motivation, whether you know it or not yet, is going to be leading. Because, apostles lead. And they go into areas where don't have churches. They plant churches. They build church up from the grassroots upwards. They appoint leaders. They lead. And they're very frustrated when they attend meetings where nobody's leading. So they'll just pick it up and lead, even if it's not their job. So the motivation in you is always connected to what God calls you to do, where God is going to use you the most. So, okay? So every other gift, all the charismatic gifts and all the ministry gifts are built on these seven gifts. So these are gifts that are form our motives or our drives within the heart and the spirit. These are your hot buttons. They're formed from your motivations. Each of us has two basic motivational gifts that determine who we are, what we do, and how we act. So there's going to be two of the seven that you're going to say, yes, that's me. So if you'd ask my oldest daughter at the age of seven what her motivational gifts are, she could have told you, because we teach our kids these things. If you had asked her at the age of seven what it is that you think God's called you to do, what's the calling on your life, she would have told you. She's now 37 or 8. She is a registered nurse with seven specialties, all of which relate to kids that don't have hospitals, don't have doctors. So she works way up north where there are no doctors, nurses, or you know, hospitals or even clinics. She's constantly taking more courses, and she has five more years before her youngest child is independent of her and her husband, and she will immediately move to Africa and set up a clinic and begin to minister to nurses. She's known that since she was five. That was established in her life when she was seven by a prophetic word that was speaking to something she already knew. She knows her motivations. So she's got integrity. She's put together right. All the pieces are in a line, you know?
Yeah.
So all my kids can do that. So, okay, let's define them, because they're a little different than you're going to think. The word prophecy, now remember, this is the gift of God the Father to every human being. So it cannot be prophecy as we know it, because you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, in the case that we're looking at, is to sense a need or a hurt in a person's life. To sense a need or a hurt in a person's life, and then say the right thing to help them. You sense a need or a hurt in a person's life, and you say the right thing. I mean, you just somehow know to say the right thing that helps them. That's what this definition of this word prophecy means in this verse, if you looked it up in the Greek. So you sit down, you're having coffee, and you literally can say to somebody, you know, you sound tired, or you sound like you're hurt, or sound like you're desperate, or that's this gift. Second one, service or ministry. It's to serve someone. Wow, there's a deep definition. To serve someone, usually in a physical way, fill in the blank, to serve someone, usually in a physical way, and your motive is simply to care and to help them without giving you thanks. Okay, so it's to serve someone in a physical way with a motive simply to care and help. You're not trying to look good. You're not trying to receive thanks. You just, this is who you are. This is how you're wired on the inside. I have a lady in my church. She was a single mom for years. Then ended up getting married to someone else and had a child since that, who's now 18, I think. Anyways, they're being really blessed by God because they obey scriptural principles in their life and in their family. And this lady, she just helps everybody. You know, you have a single mom in the church, all of a sudden you realize that the single mom's leaving every week with money or clothing or new boots at Christmas, you know, new boots at winter, or always. She's always doing this in physical ways, just helping people and doing it without being noticed. I notice because I know she's doing it. We talked about it. So, okay, teaching, to show another person wisdom or truth that would help them. show another person wisdom or truth that would help them. This is truth that you've learned by experience, truth that you've learned by reading a book, truth that you were taught by somebody else, but it's truth, and you're passing it along. So you're showing another person wisdom or some truth that's going to help them. You've learned it by experience. You learned it by study, by reading, watching something on the History Channel, whatever. And you were taught it, maybe, and now you're passing it along. I am teaching teacher motivated. I drive up, and I'm going to turn left, and there's a turn lane, so I'm going to turn my turn signal on half a block before I'm turning, and I'm turning, so everybody behind me knows that's what I'm doing. And so I turn, get into the lane, the light's red, the guy in front of me doesn't have a turn signal on. Everything in me, there's no lie, everything in me. I want to get out of my car, I want to go up, knock on the window of his car, and after he's rolled the window down, I want to point to the turn signal and say, see that? It's not a cigarette lighter. It's a turn signal. If you push it down, it says you're turning left, and if you push it up, you're turning right. Everything in me wants to go tell him that. Everything. Because I'm a teacher motivator. I know some truth he seems to not know. You had my six kids all together, and we just did on Monday night. You have them all together. You'd hear them say something, and then one of them would say, take number 7. Or they'll say, take number 31. And what they're doing is communicating with each other, because at supper time I would be constantly giving them truth or teaching them something, or and they heard it so often they actually literally numbered the truths. And they don't have to talk about them, they just give the number to each other. And I just discovered this about 6 months ago. Because Dad is teacher motivated. So okay, next one. Exhorting or encouragement. That's to encourage someone through your actions or your words. You're encouraging them through what you say or what you do. You're going to encourage them usually because there's a time of need in their life or a time of transition, so you're encouraging. The gift of giving, the motivation of giving, is to give. Now, I studied that in depth for years. The definition of the motivation to give is to give. So this lady who's constantly encouraging people and handing them things, she has a husband. And he supports our ministry. If you want, we're building a village in Africa. Forget the country. Anyways, we were raising, I think, $30,000 or something. And we didn't have it all. It was a place for kids coming out of the Lord's army. You know, the little kids had been taught to shoot and kill people. And they'd been rescued, didn't need a place to go, no parents. And so I went to Joe and I said, Joe, we're doing this thing for kids. He's got a heart for kids. I said, we're doing this thing for kids, and we're raising money. And he said, how much are you short? I said, $10,000, and we'd love a donation. Took a checkbook out, and wrote a check for $10,000. Handed it to him. You want to get him involved on the board in the church? No, not interested. You want him to minister to people in the prayer line? Not interested. You want him to lead worship? Because he's a good worshiper. He's not interested. You want him to read scripture? Not interested. What's his motivation? Giving. So 3-4 times a year, I take him out for lunch to a very nice restaurant just to say thank you. And we have this game. I have yet to manage to buy the lunch. I get up to go to the bathroom, he quickly pays the bill. I watched him. The waiter's going by and he passes him his credit card like this. He won't let me pay. It's a game to him. He wants to give and give and give and give. It's a game. It's phenomenal. And one day I'm going to win. I want to buy him lunch. So but this is his motivation. It's the only motivation he has. And he makes money, trust me, he makes money hand over fist, and I know it's because he gives more of it away than he keeps. Okay, next one. Leading or ruling, it means to take authority and simply lead others. How do you know if you have that gift? Simple. You go to a meeting, nobody's leading, the meeting should have started 10 minutes ago, everybody's drinking coffee, fellowshipping, laughing, praying with each other, having a good time in fellowship, and everything in you is saying, we came for a meeting, where's the agenda, who's supposed to start this thing, when is it starting, we're already 12 minutes late starting, and everything in you is, you're a leader, this is your motivation, you can't help it, that's who you are. My wife is not this. My wife shows up 20 minutes late. She's wondering why it's already started. That's why we have two vehicles. Because this is me, and I want to be there 20 minutes early, not half an hour late. Next one, mercy, grace. It has a variety of meanings, probably three of them, so let's fill in three meanings. Pity, in a nice sense, pity. Comfort or compassion, to love with compassion. So pity, it's just some Bible verses will say pity, not mercy. Comfort or to love with compassion. Again, that's my wife's major motivation. That's why she's Mrs. Fix-It on steroids. Okay, each of you have at least two of those. They motivate or determine how you act, what you say, what you do, what you're interested in, how you get focused on something, whether you care about it or not. So I want you to go back over the seven and circle two or three if you know you have them. If you're totally lost, guys, just talk to your wife. Because they know. They know what motivates you because that's how they keep you moving. Everybody has two or three. You have no idea. This is going to sound really harsh, maybe. Plato, many, many years before Jesus, said, an unexamined life is not worth living. You haven't examined your life. You need to start spending some time journaling about who you are. You need to know these things. Okay? So you need to at least circle two. Listen, they're going to change as you grow. Years ago, my main motivation was teaching. That's all I wanted to do. And then when I began to prophesy and prophecy really began to grow in my life, that was my main motivation, to encourage people. But I knew I was doing it supernaturally, not just the natural gifts here. Now mine is leadership. I would rather lead from behind the scenes, training young people and getting them up front to do what I do. So your main ones will change as you grow, mature, get older. Okay, everybody got at least two? Stay with me. Everybody got at least two? Good. You circled two of them. Now I want you to star the main one of the two. Which one is the stronger one? Just put a star beside it. Put a star beside it. Yes, you do know. Then you need to spend more time with yourself examining your life. Okay, so you have two circled, or three, and then this is very important, because by lunchtime, you're going to have to go back and pick up these things I'm asking you to start. So if you don't do it now, you're going to have to do it at noon. So, all right, so start the strongest one that's in you right now. You know, if somebody says, hey, we're setting this up at the church, we need your help, And you just love to go and do that because you love hanging out with the guys and moving chairs or, you know, building a room or something. Well, figure out which are your motivations. I would tell you it was probably service. Okay, everybody got it? Got something starred? Okay, 15-minute coffee break. There is a table with some treats we're going to eat as well, but I don't know what table it is. So when you get up to where the coffee is, somebody will tell you. So good. You have a 15-minute coffee break, so we're back at 12 minutes to.